2GO Breakfast with Mandy and Widow.
Good morning, Central Coast. We have Rob Palmer in the studio from Better Homes and Gardens. That's where you know him from. Builder and Chippy. Hello.
G'day, folks. Yep, pretty good. It's Wednesday. Bolognese night at home for us.
Yeah, you had to ask me what day it was 5 seconds ago.
I wasn't
said
sure.
What day it was.
I need to know so I know what to buy to take home to cook dinner tonight.
It is Wednesday night, Bolognese night. I remember you saying that last time we met.
Gwen goes out a bit. You know, look, I'm not sure whether she's got dancing or choir or book club or something, but there's something on tonight. So I do Bolognese on a Wednesday night. And it
I
goes
love that
off.
You don't know what she's doing. She could be doing anything and you wouldn't know.
Could be.
Yeah. Anyway, we're going to have a lot of fun with you today. We got some great stuff to chat about, some really funny stuff, and amazing story out of Ethiopia. That Ethiopian flight, a guy missed the flight.
Yes.
And lived to tell the tale. We've got to talk about that at some stage.
Sliding door moment, really.
107.7 2GO.
We got a good friend of the show, Rob Palmer, ex-Better Homes and Gardens and builder on the show with us today. But yesterday we caught up with Limo, friend of the show and comedian, had a chat to us.
Oh, he's a friend of the show. We love chatting to him. Limo,
hey! Oh, Mandy and Widow, it is a joy to be with you on this on this Tuesday morning. And can I, at this very early hour, ask for some relationship advice, guys?
Oh, look, you can. I'm not sure that I'm going to be able to help.
Well, I've lost Dr. Phil's number, so I'm going to Mandy and Widow in Gosford. You're my go-to.
Go.
There's this new sporting app that I've downloaded on my phone. I won't say the name of it. I don't want to give it a gratuitous plug, but it's amazing, and it has all this live sport on it.
I know the one.
And not just, you're with me, Widow. Yeah. And not just regular live sport. It has everything. So, for example, for the last four nights, I've laid in bed. Now, I need to point out as well, we deliberately don't have a television in our bedroom, so we don't sit up late watching TV all night, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I now have the best TV ever on my phone. So the last four nights, I've laid in bed. I've watched Australia beat India in the cricket. Now, that didn't go for an hour either. That went for a long time.
Yeah, that's a few days there.
Yeah, I've watched a one-hour Olympic wrestling documentary. I've watched the World Axe Throwing Championships.
Oh, nice.
And last night I sat up for 45 minutes watching a lightsaber tournament from the States. I am serious. They have three 5-minute rounds. Their uniforms have capes. They do it almost in the dark because you have to see the lightsabers.
Yeah.
And it's like it's in a school gym, but it is captivating, I tell you.
But who's winning that? Like, how do you judge that? Is there a knockout? I mean, does somebody get stabbed or lose an arm like in Star Wars?
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I think Yoda might have it over these guys. you've got a couple of slightly nerdy roosters swinging around a lightsaber.
Aren't they trying to make it an Olympic event now too?
I think they might be.
Oh, really?
Yes. I think they might
be. Oh, God. Well, see, I was never into Star Wars, which I know as a bloke in his 40s is a crime against pop culture.
Yeah.
But I do love the lightsaber tournament. And tonight, I've already got it penciled in, guys. Chess boxing is on tonight. It is. And if you're not familiar with chess boxing, it's one of the great hybrid sports where they play a round of chess and then it's a round of boxing and you can win by either checkmate or knockout.
Oh, I love this so hard. And are people's noses bleeding onto the chessboard?
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yes. Yeah. So there's guys there with an eye closing over while they're trying to make a chess move. It's just magnificent. Anyway, my point is my wife hates this app more than anything she's ever hated.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of ruined the nighttime conversation as we jump into bed.
Yes.
But gee, I'll tell you what, I'm loving it. And we're right on the cusp of a fresh footy season as well.
Oh, my God. My relationship advice is for your wife, and that is to make sure that you plug that thing outside of the bedroom to charge so that you can actually converse and have a conversation and maybe even some special adult cuddles or something.
All right.
Thanks for chatting as always, Lima. Have a great day.
Good on you. Thanks, Mandy. Thanks, Widow.
107.7 2GO.
We like to be a bit educational on this show as well, Rob. Like, we like to entertain, but we also think, you know what, let's educate people while we're here, you know?
Education's good. You can't, you know what my grandpa used to say? Knowledge is the greatest of riches. It can be neither plundered nor stolen and only grows in giving.
Oh, that is beautiful.
Thanks,
that
Grandpa.
Is special. Wow.
I feel like I just learned something.
I feel like that is way too highbrow for what we're about to talk about because that sounds posh, but I'm going to talk to you about eproctophilia. Have you any idea what eproctophilia is?
Please. There's more than three syllables in that word.
So I discovered this yesterday and I didn't know this exists, and this disturbs me a little bit. And I just think, wow, humans, aren't we amazing? This is fart fetishism.
Sorry.
This is an actual thing. This is an actual thing. I know. I thought the same thing. Proctophilia.
Proctophilia.
I suppose proctor. When you
hang
have
on.
A,
proctologist.
Yeah. Proctologist, exactly.
Study of the...
Yeah.
Wow.
The old...
It's not arachnophilia.
No. So people... I can't believe this. People like to watch other people fart. And they get off on it. Like they get sexual arousal from watching people pass gas. That's is anyone else right. freaked out by this, or am I the only one? We're just standing here not saying anything.
When do you actually learn that you have a
proctophilia?
When do you learn? Because it's one of those things, if you've been with someone for a long time, you just cop a fart, don't you?
Yeah, well, that's it. Yeah. In the domestic situation, yeah, it just happens, right?
But
yeah.
if it's new, right? Yeah. Actually, have you farted?
What?
Have you farted? You've got a new flame on the burn. Don't you, Mandy?
I do, but I haven't.
You haven't?
No, I haven't.
Well, how are you going to know if you've got a
proctophilia?
How are you going to know?
I'm pretty sure
test
I don't.
Test it out.
I'm pretty sure I don't have a proctophilia.
What if you just sneak one and he goes, hey.
No, seriously, if he's got a proctophilia, it's over. It is over. There is no way that is continuing.
There's only one way to find out, and like Rob said, just give it a go.
Just lay it out there.
You'll just see what happens.
107.7, 2GO.
Hey, you know what? There's a thing in England, right? And the English are smarting at the moment because the Welsh have pulled their pants down on the rugby field, okay? And they don't like it one little bit, which I quite like. And we all love as Australians because we love giving it to the English.
We do. But also, you've got a special interest because your wife, Gwen Clian.
I can call her Gwen, but I get in trouble. It's Gwen Clian.
Welsh, and so you go for the Welsh.
Very much
obviously.
So. Oh, yeah. Too right. I watch it as passionately as I would watch the Wallabies.
There you go.
Yeah, and it's, and the thing is, it's on at 2 a.m, so everyone wakes up. But anyway, England have now claimed that Wales have stolen some land from the English.
Oh, no.
Yep. They've come out and said there's a mountain in the Black Mountains somewhere in the middle of.
Yeah.
You know,
nowhere.
Something nowhere.
Yeah.
Where no one will ever see. Some surveyor's gone and put a mark on a piece of land, and the old watershed line from the peak of the mountain was where the border is, marked about 150 years ago.
Okay.
So these surveyors, with nothing to do, have come out and said, you know what? The actual peak of that mountain is 12 metres to the left. So there's there's a 500,000 odd square metres of land
actually
technically belongs to England. Yeah, it's disgusting.
Why are we playing Tom Jones?
He's Welsh.
He is a Welsh hero.
He is a Welsh hero.
There was a place in Wales they had how many Joneses can you get in the one building at the one time? My wife was there because he's a Jones.
There you go.
Every second Welsh
and
person's
Tom
a
Jones.
Jones
is there.
And Tom Jones is there.
It's beautiful.
Yep.
So hang on. So now, the English are claiming this land.
England are claiming the land. Probably because they lost the rugby, but they're claiming the land. The thing is, it's in the middle of nowhere. If you've ever been to Wales, there's a city down the bottom called Cardiff, and everything else is farmland.
Well, they got the Brecon Beacons and Snowdonia up there. There's beautiful parts, but there's nothing there.
Nothing to do. It's lovely to look at.
There's a couple of sheep up there, a little confused as to whether they are ponds.
They don't know
Welsh.
Whether they're English or whether
taffies, I call them.
I lived in North Wales for about 3 months,
and
the place that I lived in was called Yewuthgrug. Yewuthgrug.
It's hard. Everything's
and
hard to say.
And it doesn't have
there.
A single vowel in it. Not a single vowel. Yewuthgrug.
Yeah. My in-laws come from the place with the stupid long name, you know, that's the train station.
Oh, yes.
Llanfairpwll Gwengithgo Goriog and something.
Careful. Right? Careful. That sounded rude there.
I've wet the microphone. But, yeah, it's something about a dragon near a whirlpool next to a monastery of a thing of a ding, ding, ding.
So what's going to happen with this land grab? Do you think there's going to be some sort of long court case? Are they going? Do you know what they could do? They could have a rugby match to settle who gets the land.
That has to happen.
On the land, on the mountain. It would be the first uphill rugby match ever played in the world.
Watched only by sheep.
107.7 2GO.
Do you like a milkshake? Because as tradies, you'd have Smoko and stuff.
Used to do chocolate milk every Smoko with a pie.
Did you? Choco milk.
Only for a short time, and then I realised how unhealthy that was.
Yeah, a lot of sugar, a lot of. I want to talk milkshakes.
Yes. Shake, shake, shake.
I love the show. Do you remember this one?
Yeah.
This is such a 70s classic. Yeah, yeah. I want to talk milkshakes because there's a place in Byron Bay that has taken milkshakes to the next level. Neck level.
Ah. Okay. My milkshakes. Bring the boys to the yard and their shakes are better than yours. Yeah, my shakes are better than yours.
That, yes, that's a good song too. That's another milkshake song. All right, so we're in Byron Bay. So this is where the hippies live, right? This
Byron.
Is where, this is where, you know, you can get all
with
sorts
a mud
of
shake.
You can get some chakras done. You can get all that stuff done.
Charcoal shake.
Well, actually, I reckon a charcoal shake would be better than what they've come up with.
What have they done?
So what they've come up with is a colostrum shake. Now, anyone who's had children knows what colostrum is. You've got three kids. Do you know what colostrum is?
Yes, I do.
You know what colostrum is?
It's not what you want in your milkshake.
Well, some people will. So colostrum is the breast milk that mammals make or women make in the first few days after having a baby. Because it takes about 3 or 4 days for the actual liquidy milk to come out, right?
It's like this yellow.
It's yellowy,
yeah,
it's thick.
It's pus.
It's a little bit like pus, exactly.
Oh, and so I didn't want to say pus because that just sounds...
It sounds gross.
Funky.
But this is a colostrum shake. It's getting sold for $8. It looks yellow. It's got like coconut water and stuff in it.
Stop
and
it.
They're selling them, you know, at this cafe.
I mean, just plain old breast milk would be better.
Well, yeah, at least it would be kind of
You could cope with it.
Well,
it's
you
sort
could
of
cope with
milk coloured. Tastes different.
Yeah.
I had to breastfeed once.
You had to breastfeed?
As an adult.
What?
Yep. Because we had a baby.
Hang on, wait. That.
Are you breastfeeding yourself or?
No.
What's going on here?
Okay, so what had happened? Here we go. So we'd been out. We had a baby and we'd gone away for a weekend, Gwen and I, right?
Yep.
So we'd gone away and we'd had a few drinks, a few drinks. We had a really good night. Next morning, Gwen's got up. The baby's with us.
Yes.
And she had to feed, but the breast milk was full of booze.
Oh, yes.
So she can't feed like this.
Yes.
And she didn't have the breast pump with her.
Yeah.
So I became a human breast pump. And I got that stuff out of there. The poison milk.
Oh,
yeah.
So you drank the poison milk.
So I actually breastfed.
Right.
And it tasted boozy.
Did it?
Just for anyone out there that's wondering if it's actually a fact. You could taste it in the milk that it was boozy. I'd never had breast milk before. I had, but I couldn't remember because I was one. But... Yeah, but it definitely tasted boozy. I thought if I was a baby, I'd be off my face.
Yeah, well, there's nothing weird about that because this is like, it's a common thing, right?
Yeah.
That people try breast milk. But
it ain't colostrum.
No, and it's not in a, and it's somebody else's
in
colostrum.
A milkshake.
Like, it's a stranger's colostrum.
Who
like,
does that, though?
Well, apparently there are a lot of people buying it. There are a lot of people who think it's gross as well.
No, but who provides the colostrum?
Well, that's it too, because that's actually supposed to be really good for your baby.
Well,
sorry, kid. Babies are missing out on colostrum.
I think it's coming from animals. I think it's animal colostrum. I don't think it's like human colostrum.
Oh.
Animal.
Yeah.
But then the baby animal's missing
out.
What about
the poor little pig?
Oh, there's too many problems with this whole scenario.
There's piglets falling over.
107.7
2GO. Right, now I'm in the trenches at home at the moment, folks.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I've got it's fly swatters at 6 paces. The doors are getting left open because I've got kids. And you know what happens when you leave doors open?
Louis comes to visit.
You can give him a name all you like. It doesn't give him character. It doesn't give him a right to be around. And I'm determined to get rid of the little buggers, right? Because they just land on... You know what they do when they land on your food?
Yeah.
And then
I know,
that's audio
gross.
Of flies,
that's,
what they do.
That they vomit on your food.
I don't feel the... And then especially the real big ones, the real big black blowflies that come through and they've like... I reckon they live longer too. So anyway, I've got Mortein problems. So I get the Mortein out and I spray them.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife, if she sees me spray a fly with Mortein, I almost get a book across the back of the head.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
With a bit of Welsh aggression. And it's because she thinks, my son's got a mild asthma, as if Mortein's going to trigger it.
Okay, go on.
No, and then, so the Mortein, you've got to kill these things, because would you rather go to your friend's house and have fly vomit on your apple, or would you rather have a clean house with no flies in it?
With some Mortein on your apple.
No.
Because if you're spraying the fly, the spray's going everywhere.
Directional spray, man.
Directional spray.
I think you do have to be safe with fly spray. It doesn't matter what brand. Any fly spray. You have to be careful where you spray.
Bang into the fruit bowl. That would just be horrible, right? So I wait for him. I actually fan them away from the fruit bowl, corner them, and then hit them on the window. And sometimes there's a little bit of more teen spray on the window, and I actually get the cloth out and I wipe it off so I don't get caught.
Well trained. You are so well trained. Oh, so that's so you don't get caught.
Yeah, so I don't get caught. No.
See, I have to say, I'm sorry, and I understand that you don't like the flies, and I don't like the flies either, but I'm on
Gwenllian.
I'm on Gwen's side on this
one. Gwen. There you go.
I can't say her name. You're going to think this is crazy, but my theory with flies, and it works, and I swear it works 9 times out of 10, and Widow knows this, is that when I get flies in the house, I go over to the door, I talk to the flies, and I say to the flies, it's time to leave the house now, and I go over to the door, and I open the door, and I go, right, time to leave, guys. If you don't leave, you might end up getting sprayed or get caught in a spider's web or whatever.
Stop it.
And 9 times out of 10, they fly out the door. Nine times out of ten. They do.
They don't.
How long are you standing by the door, though?
Oh, Mandy's talking
flies. Sometimes it's a while. And yeah, exactly. Sometimes more flies fly in, actually.
Oh, dear.
Apple doesn't fall far from the tree, though. My father, I went round to his house. He's in the pool, and there's a wasp out the backyard. He goes, son, he's in the pool. Get the Mortine. And I went, oh, righto. It's your mother, though. And then I get it, right? I come out and I'm spraying. He goes, empty the can on that thing, son. Empty the can. Your mother buys the low irritant stuff. How's that supposed to kill anything?
107.7, 2GO.
Yesterday after the show, we caught up with an old mate of ours.
Yeah, he used to sit in the chair that you're currently sitting in, Rob.
Feels warm, too.
We caught up with Akmal Salih.
He joins us every week and we love having him back. Mr. Salih, hello.
Hello, Miss Coolin and Mr. Whittington.
Hello, Akmal.
Akmal Riyad Abdul Malik Salih.
That's right. Welcome. And that's how I want to be addressed from now on.
With your full name.
That's right. That's well, there goes half the show. We'll run out of time. Thank you very much.
Yeah. You're still in Adelaide doing the Fringe Festival, which is fantastic. But, you know, yes. I'm loving that you still got your eye on the news, Akmal, that you like to know what's going on in the world.
I'm not interested in real news, just the silly stuff. Just humans acting stupidly. That's what I love. That's what I love more than anything. When I see someone do something stupid, I go, well, at least I'm not that dumb. You know,
yeah,
I'm better than that person. Now, did you see the guy that was swallowed by a whale?
I saw the photo, but I didn't read the article. So this was like a diver, wasn't it?
No, he was a photographer. He was photographing sharks. But then this big whale came and swallowed him whole, right? Swallowed him like Jonah. You know Jonah?
Yeah.
Not since Jonah has anyone been swallowed whole and lived to tell the tale. But the whale vomited him out and he was fine. Can you believe that?
It's just crazy.
And then the media was talking to him and saying, what was it like? And he was, he was just acting all macho and saying, you know, when I was inside the whale, I thought to myself, this is no time to be scared. This is the perfect time to be scared. If there was ever a legitimate time to be scared, that being inside a whale is one of them.
Yeah.
You know why the whale vomited him out?
Why?
Because he shit himself. That's why. I don't know. Maybe he's recreating the Bible stories. Next week he's going to build an ark. And
there's some locusts on the way too, mate.
Some locusts on the way. That's right, locusts.
He's going to start talking to a burning bush.
Oh, yes. We've all done that in certain nights we've had. In other animal-related stories, do you remember a few weeks ago, someone had a pet tiger? Because Americans are very strange people. The funniest thing for me, the funniest story of the year so far, is an official coming out and saying, people, I can't stress this strongly enough, a fully grown tiger does not make a good pet, right? Now, not many people have to be told that, but Americans do. Now, this woman was was at the zoo in Arizona and wanted to take a selfie with a jaguar. There are fences, right? There are partitions to protect people. She thought, partitions, they're for idiots. I'll just jump and get a really close selfie with the jaguar. And the jaguar went up to the lady and ripped half her side. She's okay, so we can make fun of her.
Yes, I know. The jaguar kind of clawed her arm and started kind of hanging on to her, didn't it?
Yeah, he went up there and said, hey, take a photo of this. Yeah, there you go. There's a selfie.
Yeah, now, stick that on Facebook.
Apparently the jaguar took the phone off her and took a selfie himself. showed all his jaguar friends. Check this out, eh? But again, this had to be explained. An official came out and said, people, we can't stress this strongly enough, but these barriers are there for a reason, to stop you from dying. You have to understand that they don't see you as a human that has a job and kids or whatever. They see you as a burger, you know. You know, it's like a juicy burger has just jumped into your house, you know, and you're expected not to have a bite out of it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Well, we love you, Akmal. We'll speak to you next week.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Have a good week. Have a good life.
107.7 2GR.
Get them right now, foreshore.com.au, or just give us a call and join in on the fun.
Yeah, why we're talking not? Dogs. We're talking dogs.
Yeah, far out. You know, I'm relatively new to the Dog Lovers R Us Club, okay? Mm-hmm. Look, as far, what I mean is we had a dog as a kid. Mm-hmm. It was a Maltese Terrier, so it really didn't count.
Oh, you can't say that.
Yeah, come on. Anyway, it was more like a cat than a dog. Anyway, so then we progressed. I got married, and then we thought we'd test ourselves out with a dog, okay? It was like kid training. And
that's what you do.
Yeah. So 1 year before the first child, along comes Ned. And Ned was beautiful.
What kind of dog's Ned?
German Shepherd crossed with a blue heeler, right?
Smart dog.
Smithfield cattle dog. Yep, so smart. Yep. So smart. See, I love that. I'm glad you said
that. No, because you know German Shepherds are really smart and cattle dogs are so smart. So
mate, he was just the blend. Best. So he had the shape of a German Shepherd but the colouring of a blue heeler.
Oh, wow.
And he was just... Oh,
was he the dog that was on Better Homes with you?
He was on Better Homes and Gardens.
Oh, I reckon I've seen him.
His first days when he fit in your forearm to the days when he was 35 kilos and you couldn't lift him into the car if you tried. But he learned everything on the show. He used to jump up on the bench with a screwdriver in his mouth, which he hated because it had metal on his teeth, but he did it anyway because he loved me. Anyway, and we used to run him. I used to clock him at 40 kilometres an hour along a runway at an airport.
What a dog.
He was amazing and he would do anything. I once collapsed in the street. That's another story. But he was a puppy, 10 months old, didn't leave my side. Sat next to me.
Beautiful.
You know, it'll drop the lead completely. But anyway, and so he was just golden, right? And then we lost
Did you
him.
Have all three kids with Ned? Like, did Ned?
Yep. Then first child came, second child came, third child came. Greta, the youngest, we lost Ned when Greta was about 1 year old, right? And then so we buried him. Bless him. Then 2 years later, we're talking about the new dog. Okay.
So 2 years went by without a dog.
2 years without a dog. Yep. One child would break down every 3 months wanting a new dog. So then I caved in. We were once having a story with Greta. It was about the animal you bring home from the zoo. Do you bring a lion, a giraffe? No, too fierce, too tall. Anyway, we decided, do you bring a puppy? Oh, yeah, he's perfect. We'll keep him. I said, do you want a puppy, darling? She said, no, Dad. It's all right. We've got one. He's underneath our backyard.
Oh God.
And I went, it is time to get a dog. So anyway, bit the bullet. We went down to a farm. We got this... Australian Kelpie, right, from this farm, sheep farm, took it home. It's just a little beast, right? It's not the
you
same.
Wanted to say another word then, didn't you? What's your dog's name again?
What, the new one?
Yeah.
Wal.
That's
and
right.
He's no Ned. Wal, like, Ned had his own Insta page, you know, Wal doesn't.
Yeah, Wal.
Of course, dogs don't do
but
that
he's
themselves.
He's a bit of a character, Wal. He's chewing some stuff, hasn't he? Because he's chewed half the kids' cubby house.
He chews everything. He's chewing furniture. He chews the cubby house. I went upstairs. He was peeing on the carpet.
Oh.
I just looked at him in our bedroom. It's a massive pool of pee because he's gone up there. I said, Ned wouldn't have done that.
Oh, did you say
that? I say every time Ned wouldn't have done that.
Guilt tripping the dog.
No, I'm trying to get him to come to me. I'm trying to get him to come to me. He won't come. I go out there with a handful of fresh chicken breast. Nah, just looks at me and says, stuff you, pal. And he doesn't.
Have you trained him? Are you training him?
Yes, I'm trying my hardest. My daughter's training him. She's doing a great job. Greta, the 4-year-old. But I can't. Bonding with the new dog, and it's getting me because he's a beautiful animal, and he's got some really great traits.
Oh,
but
no.
What a little.
So hang on. What you're saying effectively is your old dog's better than your new dog.
The old dog, is hands down, better than the new dog.
But
I'm sure someone
say that because it's so different, and you're supposed to love each child the same and each dog the same.
No, you don't. I've got a favourite, and the favourite's the first one.
We're talking about the dog, right? Not your kids.
That's right. Sorry. Somebody help me because these two in here, Mandy.
I just think give him a chance. How old?
You're looking at me as though I've
Walter?
Done something wrong.
How
and I think
Walt?
It's just a natural feeling. I'm sure someone else out
It's fair enough if he's annoying you. But how old is he now? Is he still a puppy?
He's almost one.
Yeah, so he's still a puppy, man.
No,
give
that's
him time.
Seven. If my 7-year-old was carrying on like Wally's right now, he'd be okay. In his room.
Oh, okay, all right. So look, 13, 27, 10. Help Rob out with his argument.
Are we actually going to ask him?
It's happening.
Surely someone out there has a new dog that is just not living up to the old one.
All right, look, help Rob out. 13, 27, 10. Is your old dog better than your new dog?
We are we are genuinely asking that question.
Give us a call, 13, 27, 10. We'll send you along to Live at the Foreshore. Call now.
I've got Dale. Dale from Gorrican has called up. He's got an old dog.
How you going, Dale?
Not too bad. How are you guys?
Yeah, good.
Dale, now, help me out, brother.
Is this you, Dale?
Well, yeah, I had a Labrador cross Kelpie, and she was the smartest thing you could ever imagine. When I was working out the front, I could leave the side gate open, and she'd sit there at the side gate until I told her to come out.
I love her.
And she had, whenever I fed her, she'd wait until I'd say, you know, you can eat.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yep.
Yep.
Well, then I ended up getting a Ridgeback. And
handsome dog.
Well, not this one. I ended up... I walked out the backyard one day and I saw this big pile of dirt next to the box trailer, and she dug a hole from one side of the wheel to the other side of the wheel. And it was about 3 foot deep. She'd done it all night. But then what... Then I found out she'd eaten all the harness, the electrical wiring, from the front to the back.
Oh, so, no.
Yeah,
underground and eating the power.
Yes. But so, the thing that clinched everything when I gave her away was I come home from work and there was all this white foam all over the backyard, and she pulled all the permalum off the side of the house.
Oh, whoa. Wow.
You're kidding.
Yeah. Wow, Dale. So you actually got rid of her. She was so bad.
Yeah, I gave it to a farmer because it needed someone.
Doesn't sound good for
a big area.
Yeah, wow. And well, Dale, so the old dog was definitely better, and have you got another one since, or you just...
No, she was too good. I lost her.
Oh, Dale!
Dale, heartbreaking. I don't know if I can cope with this.
You know what? We're going to send you to Live at the Foreshore, matey. Stay there. We'll get your details.
I'm glad I'm not alone, Dale.
Yeah, but maybe you should give Wall away. Maybe you should cut your losses, mate.
I've got a theory about your new dog, mate. And I think you said your daughter's training the dog.
She's having a good crack at it.
And it's going okay?
Yes.
And she's relating to the dog better?
Yeah.
I actually don't think you're the alpha male when it comes to the dogs, because dogs choose an alpha male and they love that alpha male and they'll do anything for it.
So your 4-year-old daughter is the alpha male?
Oh, no.
107.7 TGO.
So in Melbourne, a woman was pulled over for speeding, right?
Yep,
not
right.
An unusual story so far. She was doing 57K over the speed limit, though.
That's hooking.
That is hooking it, right? So she was clocked at 137K. So I think all of us agree that's pretty fast.
That's highly,
that's dangerous fast. Yeah. I actually think
much for the speed, because you do that on the freeway in a heartbeat, right? But in a 60 zone.
No, was it? Yeah, 60 zone. No, it was an 80 zone. It was an 80 zone. Still very, very fast, right? She got pulled over by the cops. She's in a Jeep Cherokee, and they go, mate, you're doing like something like 75, like you're doing all this K's over.
Your maths isn't fabulous, is it?
No. Okay, good pickup. 57K over the speed limit, what's going on? And she says to them, I was doing 75K. And they look at her speedometer in her car and they work out that someone's changed it to miles per hour instead of Ks per hour. So she says, my husband changed it to miles per hour. And the cops are going, oh.
Who does that?
Like, hang on a minute. So she nearly got off by saying this, right? Because she thought she was doing 75. Now, I reckon if you're doing 137, you know you're driving at 137, right? Yeah. It feels like 130 plus.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like
there's
like
no
seven.
Way. There's absolutely no way. The trees are going past in green blurs.
Yes. Exactly,
fast this morning.
So she didn't get off in the end. They said, nah, we're not going to buy that. You've got to change it back to K's and we're going to give you an $800 fine.
It can happen. $800 fine.
Over $800 fine.
My father-in-law got an $800 fine very recently.
Did he?
On the Nullarbor plain he was.
Oh, wow.
On his motorbike. Got sick and tired of being passed by trucks every 5 minutes. So he's gone, I'm going to open it up.
Oh,
so he opens
it
up. And the one car in the distance is a cop.
Oh.
Could you believe it? And then they pulled him over. Here's my Welsh father-in-law, gets off his bike, it's hard as nails, takes his helmet off. The cop turns up, he's an Englishman.
I used to love the Bill.
Yep. So he had the old Welsh-English stoush going.
Welsh-English standoff, right? The Welsh just got him in the rugby. So there you go. The Englishman gives him the fine. He's going, you're going to give me a fine for this? And then the guy goes, yeah, I can't do an English accent, but he's going to give him the fine. He goes, I'd expect nothing less from you, you English bastard. That's not trying to get off.
Wow, no, he wasn't trying to get off at all.
Oh, dear. Look, please don't speed if you're in a car, all right?
Don't
take
speed.
Care.
107.7 2GO.
Hey, guys, I've got this thing at the moment with my daughter, Greta, and she's a really powerful character, right? She's 4 years old.
Okay, so can I just say, we FaceTimed each other to have a chat the other day, and Greta is one spirited child.
Yeah. Yeah, she's got it all going on. She's confident enough to get it wrong at the moment. And I love it. And it's quite cute sometimes, right? So I was in my office doing a few things. She came in. She said, Dad. And I said, what are you doing? She goes, I'm working. I said, what are you doing for work? And she goes, I'm a minister. I went, wow, okay, that's an odd thing to be. So, righto. And so I continued on my way. She's doing her thing. She brings some of her letter and she starts opening it. I said, that's Daddy's mail. She goes, no, I'm a minister. What she meant was I'm administration, right? So I'd worked it out. So she sort of half got it, right? But she's not quite got the definition or the meaning right.
Yeah.
And then that was okay. But then she took it one step further recently, very recently. She comes into me in the morning. She says, Dad, I want to have a cuddle. And I went, oh, yeah, because I love cuddles. Who doesn't love a cuddle?
Oh, especially first thing in the morning when they jump into bed with you. Oh.
They're still bed warm.
I know.
You know? Oh,
I miss them so much. Mine are 18 and 20, so that never happens.
Well, you'd hope not. Yeah. So anyway, she jumps into bed. She grabs me by both cheeks. And she goes, Daddy, I want to marry you.
Oh.
And I went, you are the best. Yes, I'll marry you. So she leans in. Open mouth towards me, going for this massive pash. Went, whoa, hang on a second, listen. And she goes, Dad, and so she's been denied, right? I want to marry you. And I said, yes, we can get married. So she comes in again for the kiss, and I've worked out. She thinks getting married is a big wet kiss on the face, right? Because she sees Mum and Dad, you know, we're married. So she thinks getting married is having a kiss.
That's so cute.
Look, back it up there, little girl, okay? You can marry Dad on the cheek. So she's gone and just planted one of the side of my cheek, licked my cheek, and I've gone, oh, God, this is. But then in the back of my mind, I thought, I'm a little worried about this.
Yeah.
You know, like if this is, if she, I said, do you want to, you know, have you married anyone at preschool? Because if she's that forward about it,
yeah.
She said, no, Dad, no.
Good.
I said, do you want to? She went, yep. Ray.
Oh, no! She wants to pass Ray at preschool.
Ray's out there and he's in big trouble.
107.7 2GO.
This is a really sad story. I don't know whether you saw the crash of the Ethiopian Airlines jet on Sunday night.
Didn't see it, heard about it. I think.
Oh, yeah. Just awful. The scenes, 157 people killed on board. Just awful. Has sparked a bit of a safety concern around the Boeing planes around the world. So
makes you feel a bit uneasy, doesn't it?
It does. It certainly does. You know, there was just no survivors. There's nothing left of the plane. There's a big old hole in the ground. Just awful.
Mm.
And a story that's come out, and I think this is just, makes me feel a little bit sick, if I'm honest, but also just that heart moment where a guy from Greece has got to the gate to board that plane, and he was like 5 minutes late, and they'd shut the gate, and he could see the last passengers getting onto this plane, and he said, that's my plane, I want to get on it. And they're going, look, mate, we've shut the gates. I'm really sorry. We'll get you on another flight.
Yep, we've unloaded your luggage.
We just can't. Mm. You know, they just can't. They have to cut it off
at
some point.
What happens,
you do. Yeah, I've missed planes.
Yeah, don't be late for planes, funerals, weddings.
Yeah, exactly right. So he said, righto, they were really lovely. They got me on another flight. And then the plane crashed.
Yeah. Oh, can you imagine just the...
Just...
It had flashed before your eyes.
It's giving me goosebumps. Like, I cannot get my head around how you would feel for the rest of your life around that. And it got me thinking about those sliding door moments that happen in life where you make a decision that changes everything.
It does. I had a sliding door moment, not as dramatic. Profoundly life-saving as that.
Yep.
In fact, it's quite the opposite. But my wife lost her keys and lost her wallet.
Where was she?
In Wales, in Cardiff, right? She lived out of town, couldn't find anything to get home. She had no money, no keys to get a house. So she went to her mate who ran the backpackers, the local backpackers around the corner, because she was working there, thought, I'll get a bed for the night. I'll sort this mess out in the morning.
Yep.
Australia had just won the World Cup in 99, and look who's there.
Is that how you met her?
That's how I met her. Yep.
So if she hadn't lost her keys in her wallet.
Instantly.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, yeah.
So she would not, you would not have met if she hadn't lost her keys.
If she hadn't lost her keys in her wallet, we'd never have met.
Wow.
Bang. And wow. How life would have been different.
He says with a massive grin on his face.
I've got a story almost like this guy with the Ethiopian flight, but it's my dad, and it's around the Granville train disaster. You remember that? It was like in the 70s, late 70s.
Yes, brutal.
Dad used to catch that train every morning without fail, and he'd sit near the carriages that got squashed by the bridge. And that morning on the way to the train station, forgot his comb. And my dad's a lot like me. He's kind of the person, if you don't have your stuff.
Always has a comb and a hanger.
If you don't have stuff, you've got to go get it. So he went back to his flat, got the comb, went to the train station, missed the train.
No.
Yep. So I almost wasn't here. It's crazy. It's a definite sliding door moment.
They really are sliding because they're sliding doors on trains.
Yeah. Oh, they're actual literal sliding doors.
Because you just walk in and the sliding door's shut and you missed it.
This is incredible. Now, there you go. You've got a negative and a positive. Like, so the sliding door moment was a terrible train accident
horrible,
for your dad.
Yeah.
But for you, the sliding door moment was you meeting your beautiful wife.
It was amazing. Yeah.
So what
then
I
they made
ask...
that rubbish movie.
Yeah, they did too. I want to ask this morning, have you got a sliding door moment that you would love to share with us? We'd absolutely love to hear it. And we've got $100 for you to go and spend at Sea Salt at the Crown Plaza Terrigal, which is just a beautiful restaurant.
Yes.
What's your sliding door moment? Give us a call this morning. Mark from East Gosford, tell us your sliding door moment.
Good morning, guys. I love Rob. I used to follow that show every week because he was on there.
Oh, good on you, Mark.
Mark, you're a dead set legend. You call every time I'm in here? Thanks, mate.
So tell us what happened, Mark.
3 weeks ago, I was coming down a road called Pitwater Road. I come through Glazewell and cut the back way down to Epping Road.
Yep.
No.
I stopped at a roundabout just as you're coming down the hill to let a lady out. She's come through the roundabout and turned left into a driveway. As I'm going down the hill, a guy's coming the other way, went across the medium strip at about 100 kilometres an hour and straight into an Armco. With about a 6 second delay, if I hadn't given way to let that lady out, I would have got T-bone and seriously hurt by this car.
Oh, mate. Wow. So for being a good bloke, because you are a good bloke, Mark, you've saved yourself
Yeah, that's good karma coming straight back to you, isn't it, Mark? Yeah. That's remarkable. Thanks for giving us a call this morning.
Cheers, Mark.
We got Laura from Wadawba. Laura, what's your sliding door moment?
Oh, hi, guys. How are you?
Yeah, good.
Good. So my husband and I have been trying for a baby for a while, but I had a miscarriage. So my mum trying to sort of support me in this, and, you know, it can be the best thing ever because she only ever wanted a little girl, and she was pregnant with a girl at 20 weeks that had a miscarriage. So if she never had that miscarriage, I wouldn't have been born because that was a baby girl.
Oh, my goodness me. Does that make you feel pretty freaked out? That would freak me out, I reckon.
Yeah, it does. It really does.
And it just shows you sometimes things are meant to be, even though they
something
seem
something so sad
awful.
Can end up so positive, right?
Yeah.
And it's crazy. Like, I'm 25 years old and I never knew that story about my mum until just recently, and it's just blown my mind.
And it's really helped you through your tough time.
Yeah. Oh, Laura, thank you for sharing, and all the best, my dear. All the best indeed. Mark from Tumbiumbi. Now, is this true? Was it your dad used to catch the same train as Widow's dad, or was it you?
No, it was me, Mandy. Yeah, that morning, normally I leave earlier for work, so I thought I'll have a sleep in and I'll go to work because I was only catching that train from Parramatta, and I've walked down quickly because we didn't live that far from there at the time, only newly married too.
Yep.
And the train was coming in, but what happened was it was just a fraction late and there was another one, a suburban one, that actually came in. I thought, no, bugger it, I'll catch this one. And it'll be sweet and everything like this. So I get to work, and then all of the other fellas at work are yelling at me, ring your wife, ring your wife. I said, why, what's the matter? She said, she's on the phone every minute, you know, trying to contact me, because she knew I was going to catch that train. She'd heard about it. Nobody at work had heard about it. So I ring her up, and she says, you're alive, you know? I said, of course I'm alive. And then I find out the whole story about the train.
The Granville train.
The one right behind you.
The Granville train.
The one right behind you. And because you walked quickly, you got the earlier Suburban. Mark, that is just remarkable. So similar to Widow's dad. That's incredible.
Yeah, that sometimes it's really good to be early for work.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Great reason to be early for work. Michelle, wrap this up for us. Michelle from Terrigal, what's your sliding door moment?
Hi. I do night shifts, and one Saturday I was driving home from Sydney and I pulled up at a set of lights, and when it turned green, normally I'd just go, and I was turning right onto the Pacific Highway.
Yep.
And for some reason I sort of went, oh no, stopped, waited a second, looked, and the semi-trailer came flying through, and it would have taken me out because it went straight through the red light.
You stopped at a green light?
Yes.
And you don't know why, you just felt it that you needed.
She does night shift. She's probably exhausted.
Yeah, you probably wouldn't
quite register.
But it's also like we were saying earlier, it's an automatic response. When you see green, you just go. Do you know what
exactly.
I mean?
Exactly. Mm.
So you basically missed out on getting completely wiped out by a truck.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, and you would see that flash before you.
I had chills.
Yeah, I bet you did.
You would.
Well, we're going to send you along to the Crown Plaza Terrigal. Go and have a meal at Sea Salt, my friend, and enjoy that, won't you? Because we're glad you're
thank
alive.
You so
beauty, Michelle.
107.7, 2GO.
Hey, before we go, I can't let this go before you leave, right? So yesterday, yesterday we were chatting a bit and texting each other and stuff because we knew you were coming in this morning. And you said that you cried. I have no problem with the bloke crying, right? I just want to make that clear. I have no problem with blokes crying. I think it's amazing. But you cried watching Maths, Married at First Sight. I think you've got to be the only bloke in the world to have a wah at Married at First Sight.
Look, it was a really,
Bambi. I don't mind if you cry at, you know, RSPCA ads or whatever, but don't cry at Maths, mate. What's
it was a really nice moment, right? I'm not choking up now. That was just
a
little awesome.
It sounds like you are. You're going to all cry now.
So there was this really nice, look, okay, for starters, let me just qualify. The MAFS and I have not known each other for very long, okay? I saw a little snippet last week where there was this woman, I don't know their names, but this woman was getting onto some other woman's husband. I thought, I can't not watch now. Yeah. So anyway, I looked at that and I thought, wow, that's pretty intense. I was watching the news, it came up, and then I left to get some dinner last night, came back, and the news had been on, and then Maths was on, all right?
And you went, Maths is on.
Oh, gee, it's that show again. Anyway, so as I was watching it, this guy and the woman, Cam and Jules come into the house. They're having the home visit with Mum and Dad. And Jules was really worried about how Mum was going to react. And because she'd, you know, Mum came in, she was all, and then, you know, they do their side interviews.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're talking to Mum, she's glazing up, and she was starting to weep a little bit. And I felt for her because of what was going on. She's losing her daughter to a perfect stranger. She doesn't even know. And why is she doing this off the bat? And all this sort of stuff. So then, and it, you know, it turns out, is it Cam? Cam's the guy.
Yeah.
What a nice man. You know, it forced after Mum broke me up, right? Just a little bit, just a little weep, and I was like wet eyes, and wasn't crying. It was just wet eyes, and
So it was the Mum talking about her daughter.
It was
that
the Mum. It was the
weeping.
Mum. You know,
then you went online though as well. You said earlier you just went online and you had
Googled,
a look.
And you googled Cam and Jules. And
I just wanted to see what a nice guy. I just wanted to see what there was. You know what? There wasn't that much, to be honest.
Well, this is what
I think. You've got to be a dog to get airtime.
No, listen to this. Yeah, that's right.
I'm processing everything that's happening, and I'm so grateful and just love everything about Jules. Is it a bit scary? Yeah, a little bit, because you continue to fall more in love and grow a closer bond. And I guess when you do that, then there's more at risk, but at the same time, you have to do that because I love every bit of Jules and what we create together as a team.
Straight at the top of the tree there, Cam.
You love Cam.
There's a little spot on the top shelf next to my 13A's.
You're right, Cam and Jules don't get a lot of airtime because they're a very nice couple and they're not catfighting each other. But good on you, Rob Palmer.
That's
first man in Australia to cry at Married at First Sight. Well done.
All right, we've got to get out of here. Mickey D's up next. If you missed anything on the show today, catch up, download the app, the 2GO app or 2GOFM.com.au. We talked about sliding moments earlier in the show, sliding door moments earlier
amazing,
on the show.
Amazing. We also talked about fart porn.
Yeah, we did too.
Yeah.
Find out what that is. Listen to the catch up. Rob Palmer, thanks for coming
thanks
in today, mate.
Thanks for coming in, buddy. Yeah. Been a whole lot of fun.
I'm going to man up and cut some wood or something. 107.7 2GO.